faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Glad you're with us. We're going to have Dr. John Whitcomb on for Ask Dr. John here in just a minute. He's on the line holding, but first let me let you know about the fact that over the weekend we loaded a lot of new DVDs to the Situation Room. Here's some of the ones I converted from WMV to MP4 and got up on our FTP site. Three worldview trends. Political correctness is cultural Marxism, pagan spirituality, and one world spirituality. Those are the three worldview trends. That DVD's up now. United Nations Curriculum in the Schools of America and the World. That one-hour documentary on the International Baccalaureate is in the Situation Room for you to watch on demand. Surviving Hitler's Holocaust, the testimony of Anita Dittmann. The Bank for International Settlements, a one-world economy and global governance. That is a one-hour documentary as well. If you really want to understand how it is we're going to global governance, you have to understand the Bank for International Settlements. If you don't understand the Bank for International Settlements, then you're not going to understand how the central banks of the world are manipulating the currencies of their regions and bringing about, I believe, a deliberate manufactured chaos by which then they could implement global governance. And again, we produced this documentary, and literally the next month, the statements I made on the documentary were confirmed by none other than the president of the European Central Bank, who came to America April 26, 2010, gave a speech in New York and said the way we implement global governance, which is the word he used over and over and over, was through the Bank for International Settlements. We also loaded Last Day's Deception or Biblical Truth Part 1, Last Day's Deception or Biblical Truth Part 2. All those DVDs are now in the Situation Room for you to watch on demand. I think it's now approaching 30-some-odd DVDs. We're on our way to hopefully 100 DVDs inside the Situation Room for you to watch on demand when it fits your schedule. And for more details, the website's situationroom.net, situationroom.net. One other final announcement here before we go to Dr. Whitcomb. Many of you joined our Facebook page over the weekend, the long weekend. We're thankful for that. We're now had about 900 people join our Facebook page since Friday, and we're now approaching 7,000. We're at 6,803 on our Facebook page. So if you are looking for a place to talk about the issues of the day with people who are concerned about certain things like adhering to biblical theology and doctrine, our Facebook page is largely made up of that. There may be a few liberals hiding in there seeing what we're doing, but overall you can tell from the conversations we have that most of the folks there are very serious about the Word of God, and they want to study and be approved workmen who are not ashamed. And so if you want to join our Facebook page, all you have to do is go to Facebook.com, click in my name, Brannon House, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, House, H-O-W-S-E, and then click that you like the page and you can join. Well, Dr. Whitcomb is, I think he said to me he's 80-something. I can't remember. I want to say 88, but he's got a Facebook page. Doc, how old are you, did you tell me?
Well, God willing, next June I'll be 88.
You will be 88. Wow.
And you
have a Facebook page at 88.
Yes. Amen.
You're not afraid of this technology, are you?
I'm trying to keep up with it all. When I was a boy, they had just invented airplanes.
Oh, that's funny. And I was talking to you before we went on the program, and you and I have something else in common. We both like to swim as exercise.
Amen. It's good for you. It's good for you.
It is good for you. My friend Dr. Noble also has been swimming lately, he told me, and said that it's really amazing what it does for you. It stretches you out, and he says, I feel wonderful, a lot better than I thought I would after swimming. So I have broke my back a few years ago, so I like to swim because it seems to help my back as well. So anyway, we find that we have a lot more in common just as we just chit-chat before we go on the air. Well, thanks for joining us again, Dr. Whitcomb. Your website is whitcombministries.org, correct?
That's right, whitcombministries.org.
And then they can also find you at sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb?
Yes, /Whitcomb.
And then they can find you on Facebook as well.
Right. So hope we can connect with somebody and be of help and encouragement in the Lord.
Well, I know that is the case because I get a lot of emails when I have you on. People like the fact that I have you and Jimmy DeYoung on. Well, I've got a 3.5 pages here of questions for you. And I want to start with one right away. Question number 5, question number 16, question number, let's see, I guess 9. So I've got, out of my questions here, 5, 9, and 16 are really the same three questions. Let me just read a couple of these things to you because we've been getting a lot of inquiries about this, and I promised on a broadcast we would share about it. Someone wrote to me and said, "Hi, Brandon, we're wondering if you have come across this issue. We receive updates from two different missionary families that minister to Muslims. One lives in Turkey, the other in Oregon, here in the States. Within the last weeks, we received updates which concerned us deeply. Both missionaries spoke of Muslims they were reaching out to who had dreams. In them, they have seen Jesus. The missionary from Turkey was excited when told of his dream. He said, quote, 'Wow. And when I met with the Muslim man, he was a changed man,' end quote. The response from the missionaries in Oregon was similar. The missionary told her Muslim friends of another Muslim she knew in Afghanistan who also had dreams of Jesus, and said that she would pray that God would send her Muslim neighbors dreams of Jesus also. We were shocked. Have you heard of this before? We want to gain wisdom about this. We're studying the scriptures, and we also want to get input from fellow true believers we can trust, like you. We want to study to show ourselves approved, right, for the dividing the word of truth. I guess our main question is this. We believe God only speaks through his word, the Holy Bible. We believe these dreams are of Satan. One point is, how does anyone know what Jesus looks like? Can you give us insight on the topic of dreams?" And then someone else said in an email, basically the same thing. The Dominionists, of course, are talking a lot about people receiving dreams and visions in the last days. And they also talk about the fact that children and young adults are going to be leading this revival, taking Joel chapter 2 out of context, which is one reason why we see IHOP, I believe, and these other International House of Prayer and organizations talking a lot about and going after children or young people, teenagers. But in Joel chapter 2, Dr. Whitcomb, we see talk about dreams and visions. Can you help us put this in context, number one? And number two, I just have been searching the scriptures myself the last few weeks because I'm getting so many of these kind of questions, Dr. Whitcomb. When did these, the appearance of Jesus stop? Can you show us somewhere in the scripture where Jesus stopped appearing to the apostles? Also, again, this idea of healing people, not that we don't believe God can't choose to heal people, but this idea of like someone like Benny Hinn and others going around healing people. Wasn't there some point even when Paul said he left someone sick? So I'm asking you a lot of questions here at the very beginning.
Right. It's a very complex issue, brother, and it comes down basically to this. There's a great heavy warning in the last verses of the Bible, in Revelation 22, against anyone who would subtract from the Bible. We all mostly understand what that means, to deny anything God has written. But the really problematic thing is we're not to add anything. So when some sincere-looking person, some experienced Christian even, maybe even a missionary from some far country comes and says, "We had a dream," or "We know somebody that did have a dream of Jesus or heard something from God," we have to be immediately alerted to this, because it is very, very dangerous to say, "I have a new message from God." And I say, "Now, Lord, help me to understand the New Testament teaching on this." The Apostle Paul said in the last chapter of the last book he ever wrote, in 2 Timothy, he said, "Trophimus, I left at Miletus sick." In fact, he said to Timothy, "I can't even help you, sir, anymore. Just try fruit juice instead of contaminated water." He didn't have any miracles to offer anymore. He himself, Paul, had prayed 3 times for healing. God said graciously, "No, no, no. My grace is sufficient for you." So Paul obviously lived to see the end of miracles. The last one he performed, as far as we know, was in the island of Malta at the end of that terrible journey by ship to Rome. And after that, no more. Now, of course, we do know that the Apostle John lived another 25 years, and on the island of Patmos, he saw a vision of Jesus. Yes, Revelation, the whole book, in fact. Blessed are those who read and believe and understand that marvelous book. But that was the end of Revelation. Now, you see, there's a transition period. The early church was strengthened by God in supernatural ways. In fact, Jesus told the apostles, you remember, in John 14, "The miracles that I have performed, you will also, and greater miracles, greater sign wonders will you do, because I go to my Father." What is a greater sign wonder than a miracle? Preaching the gospel. Peter preached a sermon in Acts 2, and 3,000 Jews were saved in one day. That didn't even happen when Jesus preached. And that's amazing, because that is the main thing we're doing, teaching and preaching the word, not experiencing dreams, signs, wonders, miracles, and those types of things. Now, the author of Hebrews says, you remember in chapter 2, that he was not experiencing any more miracles. He looked back on those who had in Hebrews 2:4, and he was not one of them. So this is not the Apostle Paul, maybe Barnabas or Apollos or somebody, actually lived to see the end of sign miracles. So my word of warning is this, brother. When anyone says, I have just seen Jesus, you can say, well, that's wonderful, but brother, let's sit down and talk about this now. Somehow you had seen on TV or on a computer screen or read in somebody's Bible or heard somebody say something about Jesus. And in a dream at night, that memory, that confrontation you had in one way or another, takes the form of a dream. I've had many, so have you. Oh, we all have. But they're not supernatural direct revelation from God. Otherwise, you see, we're all in trouble because we have no measuring stick to say to somebody, said, well, I've seen so-and-so in a dream, speaking of some Bible character. Well, no, you haven't. Why not? You weren't there. You didn't have the dream. You see how complicated this becomes? You say, dear friend, sit down, let's talk. The Bible, the written word of God, is the measuring stick for everything. Now, you see why the Jews crucified Jesus? Because he not only had supernatural claims, but he performed sign miracles that were performed in healing thousands of people. And Nicodemus said, no man could do the miracles you do except God be with him. But the reason they crucified Jesus was not because he performed miracles, but why? Because he claimed to be the Son of God, making himself equal with God, John 5, John 10. And it's because of his theology, his claims, not the presence and power of miracles, but his claims to be equal with God the Father, that caused the Jews to rebel against him and crucify him. So you see, it isn't enough. We have to say, well, I experienced a miracle. No, the question is, are you being faithful and really exclusively committed to the written revelation of God, the Bible? And if we use that humbly and graciously, carefully and patiently as a measuring stick for people's claims, we will immediately set aside those who say, well, I went to heaven, I saw Jesus, or he talked to me in a dream or something like that. No, let's stick to the Word of God and we'll be safe. Yes, all Scripture, not experiences. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching.
Amen to that. And we come back, I want to ask you, Dr. Wetcombe, about Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29.
Right.
So we'll get into that when we come back from the break. Thanks. You know, my good friend Ron Carlson passed away in June, and I've talked about him a lot to my wife and said, I wonder what Ron would say about what's been going on since he passed away. What would he say to me about the challenges and the trials I'm going through, as even Christians are coming against me? Well, I had a dream about Ron. I'll tell you about it when I come back. Don't go away. We've expanded the Worldview Weekend Situation Room yet again for 2011. The Worldview Weekend Situation Room now includes over $5,000 in resources for just $59.95 per year. We've gone through and made sure that we've added every Worldview Weekend keynote presentation from our vast library of DVDs. So that means we've ripped all the audio off of those DVDs and put them right into the Situation Room for you to listen to as MP3s. That means we have about 200 Worldview Weekend keynote presentations now on the Situation Room available for you to listen to when you want. And you have access to all of the Worldview Weekend radio programs since September 11th, 2007. So when you combine the Worldview Weekend keynote presentations with all of the radio shows from 2007 forward, that means you have nearly 1,000 hours of MP3s available to you as a member of the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. We've also added my books into an ebook format that's right there for you to enjoy as a member of the Situation Room. That means my book, Christian Worldview for Children, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 1, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 2, Grave Influence, Put Your Beliefs to the Test, and Building a Biblical Worldview are all available inside the Situation Room as a bonus. Members also receive access to the audiobook, Grave Influence. That's over 10 hours of the audiobook, Grave Influence. We've also added the 2010-2011 Worldview Weekend Hour television program that you can watch on demand inside the Situation Room. You also get a free tuition to the Worldview Weekend Online Institute. Now, that's totally different than the Worldview Weekend Training Institute we do in Memphis. But nonetheless, it's a 12-week online course that you can take at your convenience, on your schedule, take as long as you want to take the class. You also receive a 20% discount on all Worldview Weekend items that you purchase inside the Worldview Weekend bookstore. You'll find complete details or can join at worldviewweekend.com or situationroom.net. Situationroom.net. And when you join the Worldview Weekend Situation Room, you're not only coming to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, but you're helping us to keep our radio show on the air. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Brandon House here. It's Worldview Weekend Radio. Our website's worldviewweekend.com. Hope you're checking out our website and signing up for our Worldview Weekend rallies that are coming to several cities. They are several cities, not as many as we normally do. But we're going to be in La Crosse, Wisconsin on Sunday night, October 9th. Myself and Usama Dakdok. It is free. It's one night, but you do have to register. And the seating is limited, so you can register online at worldviewweekend.com. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Friday night, October 21st. Myself, Jason Carlson, who was in the Emergent Church and got out many years ago. It is now Warning the Church, and Mike Gendron will be with us on the Church of Rome and how to witness and share the gospel with our friends and family members who maybe belong to the Church of Rome. Wichita, Kansas, November 4th, Des Moines, Iowa, November 5th, Minneapolis, St. Paul, November 6th, with Jimmy D. Young and, Jimmy D. Young and Usama. Rockford, Illinois, Sunday night, November 20th, with myself, John Leffler, and Erwin Lutzer. So that's the lineup. Now, before we end the break, I gave you a little tease, and I bet you guys all stay tuned to hear what House is about to prove he's cuckoo. No, I did. I had a dream that Ron called me, and it was a dream that he called me from heaven, and he told me, "You're doing a good job, Brandon. I'm all for you. Keep going." Now, I woke up that morning, and I remembered having the dream, and you know what I said to myself? Well, of course I had that dream. I was just talking to my wife about it before I went to bed and said, boy, I wish I could talk to Ron sometimes the last few months because all that's going on, I wonder what Ron would say. I routinely called Ron on the phone. And what would Ron say to me when I would call him, explain to him what was happening and the response, you know, that I was either in an article that he would read and then he'd call me and say, this is a great article. You know, this is what I like about the article. Maybe you want to add this verse or that verse. And he would counsel me on the phone a lot because he lived in Minneapolis and I live in Tennessee. Now, we were together a lot of the time, but we spent a lot of time on the phone. And he would say things to me, common phrase by Ron Carlson is, I'm all for you, Brandon. Keep going. I'm all for you. It was just typical of what Ron would say to me and had said to me for years on the phone. So talking about that to my wife, I go to sleep. I have a dream. I wake up and I say to myself, of course you had that dream. You were just talking about that before you went to sleep, how you would love to hear from Ron. You wish you had the ability to pick up the phone, get his counsel, get his encouragement, and you dreamed about him calling you and talking to you on the phone, which he did a gazillion times. That was no special spiritual thing other than the fact I had been talking about that before I went to bed. Let me tell you, Ron did not call me from heaven in my dream. It was simply a dream. Would you agree with that, Dr. Whitcomb?
That's exactly right. And in other words, we are in very slippery slope when we talk about supernatural revelation today. We better be very careful. Satan loves that, to distract us from the Bible and say, well, what was your dream? What was your experience? Tell me about your visions. The millions of Christians, I'm not exaggerating, millions of Christians, true Christians, born-again people around the world, are deeply confused about the charismatic movement and claims and experiences. We need to be very, very humble before God and patient with people, but explain to them that when you start in that direction, there's no stopping point. Everybody will have a dream, have a vision, have a claim, and it's total theological chaos. And the Bible makes it very clear. We are not to listen to people who are not supernaturally, divinely, illuminated and informed by God. And we know that that is true today because the book of Revelation is the end of supernatural revelation from God for the church age. Now, beginning with the Great Tribulation, however, that follows the rapture resurrection event for the church, then again, there will be such things happening to confirm what? The two witnesses of Jerusalem, as they reach out to unregenerated Jews, Israelis, and then will be, as Peter said in Acts 2, then there's going to be some things happening that are spectacular in the light of Joel chapter 2. Young men, daughters will prophesy, young men will have visions, old men shall dream dreams, and I will in those days pour out forth my spirit. A touch of that happened, you see, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. But the real fulfillment is the 70th week of Daniel, when again there'll be supernatural revelation and sign miracles as Israel is reactivated spiritually by God. All Israel will be saved. They will begin a global witness, 144,000 witnesses around the whole world. That is a very different program than the one the church is now experiencing today. We stand on a solid foundation. We don't have to have a new foundation every 100 years with new apostles, new prophets, new visions, new dreams. No, no. That's going to happen at the end of this age in the 7-year period between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. Then there will be these tremendously marvelous, spectacular visions, dreams, signs, and wonders that God's people, Israel, will experience for the glory of God.
Well, and what's interesting, too, Dr. Whitcomb, is that Joel chapter 2, verse 28, 29, in context, correct me if I'm wrong, but in context, it seems to be talking specifically as it refers to your sons and your daughters, is referring to the house of Israel only. So this is referring to the people of Israel, the Jewish people in Israel, the house of Israel. Would you agree with that?
That's right. And this is the way the Apostle Peter applied it in his sermon in Acts 2. And we need to realize that the context is the key to everything. What is Joel really talking about? Not every human being, but Israel, through whom he will reach every human being. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed to all nations through what? Through Israeli witnesses, and then shall the end come. Yes. And so it says in Joel chapter 2:32 that on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there'll be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So those are things that we need to keep in mind. Yes, through Israel, a regenerated Jews, Romans 11, remember, all Israel will be saved, not the church, Israel. And that's hard for many people to believe. They think God is through with Israel. God is finished with that nation. Well, they don't deserve to be reactivated, regenerated, used by God. No, I don't deserve to be a Christian either. It has nothing to do with what we deserve, but what God in His grace has accomplished through simple faith in His Word. And I say thank you, Lord, for your gracious provision for every human being to come to you and believe in the Savior.
And we're not saying that your elders of your church cannot get together and pray for someone who is sick. The Bible speaks to that issue, does it not?
Right, in James chapter 5, don't go to a faith healer. Notice, don't call a faith healer. Call for the godly men of your own local church who love you and know you. That will be a spiritual opportunity to confess sin and trust God for His mercy. And I say thank you, Lord, for that wonderful provision.
So when these people talk about their children and young people prophesying and dreaming dreams, first of all, it's during the tribulation. Second of all, it is to the house of Israel.
Right.
So again, get it in context. Context, 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 people. That's why I believe groups like the New Apostolic Reformation Movement, International House of Prayer, despite what your pro-family leaders want to tell you, they, I believe, are not biblically solid. I don't care what their statement of faith might be up on their website in order to deceive those who are perishing, but let it be known, their theology and doctrine is not solid, and it is oftentimes ripped completely out of context in order to draw away the saints, Acts 20, people who have risen from within, speaking perverted, meaning distorted or twisted things. Are you shocked, Dr. Whitcomb, at the rise again of this latter rain movement, the Kansas City Prophet movement, now the New Apostolic Reformation movement? Are you shocked at all, or even are you even aware of the fact that it's now come on the scene again and is growing rapidly, and some of the biggest evangelical leaders and pro-family leaders in America are embracing these people and on platforms with them and in prayer services like Governor Perry of Texas? Are you aware of the fact that this is sweeping the country now?
Well, I'm not shocked, but I'm saddened. I'm very sad because I can see more and more the developing apostasy of the church. In the latter days, the Apostle Paul said, many shall depart from the truth. That's the word of God. In fact, Jesus asked, didn't he, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith on the earth? Will there be anybody in the true church that believes the whole Bible? And I say, Lord, may I be one of them. Help me to realize this is not something, it's a general trend downward. Now, we don't rejoice when we see things downward. I have to be careful about that. I say, Lord, you want me to grieve over this? Just like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, grieved, even though he knew that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. He pled with God for mercy, but he knew what was going to happen. And we know what's going to happen today. The church is becoming more and more compromised with feelings and experiences and dreams and visions and false doctrines. And we need to do what Paul did to Timothy. This is his version of the Great Commission. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men. Watch this now. Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Teach what? Teach what Timothy taught them. What did Timothy teach? What Paul taught him. What did Paul teach? What God taught him. That's a chain of command. God, through Paul, through Timothy, to the faithful men, to others also. No reductionism, revisionism, amplification, adding anything or subtracting from the word. Stick to the word of God written, and that'll be safe and healthy spiritually. You'll be a blessing to people everywhere. If you say, here's the guideline right here, it can't be changed.
Absolutely. Okay, what are the biblical reasons against abusing yourself? That was someone who emailed in, like cutting yourself, hitting yourself. And I also would say, add to the question, the person who emailed didn't ask this, I'm going to add to it. What about all the body tattoos all these kids are getting? We see them sporting at church. Does the Bible say anything about cutting yourself, tattooing yourself, body piercings, these kind of things?
Well, let's start with a verse in Leviticus 19. Listen to this. Verse 28, you shall not make any cuts in your body, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Now, I deliberately left out something there. Let me read the verse correctly now. You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead. Now, you see, what he's prohibiting here is for no Jew should act like a pagan, a heathen, who would cut himself and torture himself to somehow help dead loved ones or bring about a change in your life. God says, you don't do that. You don't do that, Israelites. So you see, we have to be careful. Number one, this is a command of the Jews, you see. There's no such command in the New Testament. But these are basic biblical principles. Let me see if I can restate this in our own day and age. Don't puncture, damage, injure your human form that God gave to you. There's no such thing in the New Testament that we're to do. Now, you know, if you want to pierce your ear to hang something there, a lady can do that. But you see, if it has any religious significance to you, that you got a tattoo or did some cutting or damaging your body, that becomes extremely dangerous because you are depending on some kind of a change in your physical form to please God or accomplish some religious goal. That is completely unacceptable. So I would say, don't do it. Don't cut yourself. Don't tattoo yourself. Can you imagine the cost and the pain and the trouble of getting a tattoo erased from your body when later you realize that was a stupid thing for me to do? I would say, I'm not saying a person is going to hell or will suffer supreme judgment from God for doing it. We have to be careful not to go into extremes. Because many thousands of young people, and this is what you asked me, many thousands of teenagers across America, scores of thousands, are doing this because it's the thing to do. It's the end thing.
Hold right there. Hold right there. We'll come back with Dr. John Whitcomb. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you ever wondered how we can make available the free Worldview Weekend rallies all over the country and our free national television broadcast, the Worldview Weekend Hour? Well, one of the ways we're able to do these things is because of the generosity of you through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. The Worldview Weekend Foundation is working with Worldview Weekend to make the free Worldview Weekend rallies possible. And the Worldview Weekend Foundation is a generous supporter of the airtime that we have to purchase to make available the Worldview Weekend Hour national television broadcast. If you would like to be a part of the Worldview Weekend Foundation and make a generous tax-deductible contribution, then the website address is worldviewweekendfoundation.org. worldviewweekendfoundation.org. Thank you for considering becoming a part of the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest. Ask Dr. John if you want to email in your theological question to me, and we'll get it in the long list of questions we get. The email address is info@worldviewweekend.com. Info, I-N-F-O. info@worldviewweekend.com. Just put in the subject line, question for Dr. John. Question for Dr. John, and we'll add it to the list that we send on to him. Do you want to? So we'll just finish up on the last question before we move to the next, and that is that it's fashionable now, I guess, among young people, you were saying, to have these tattoos, and so we want to be careful not to be legalistic and say that, hey, if you got a tattoo, you're not going to heaven. That's not what we're saying. But we also, at the same time, want to warn young people in your immaturity and your lack of discernment now, don't do something you'll regret later. I know a lot of older friends of mine, I say older, they're in their 30s and 40s now, who got tattoos when they're younger, and now they're totally embarrassed by them and wear clothes to keep them covered.
Right, absolutely. And so we say, Lord, help me to appreciate how precious my body is. It's not mine. It didn't evolve by chance. It was designed by God, knowing what body Jesus, the Son of God, would incarnate into, adding a human nature with a body. And it's our body, as a believer, believe it or not, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't damage God's temple, God's property. And the human body is designed by God for resurrection through Jesus, through faith in Him. So I say, Lord, help me to be very careful what I do with myself. That it's not my property, it's God's property. And I don't damage somebody else's property. I say, Lord, help me to understand and to share with others, my family, friends, and loved ones, the uniqueness, the magnificence, the eternal destiny of the human body through Jesus. And I say, Lord, that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about something. I got an email the other day, someone saying, well, I can't recommend your Worldview Weekends anymore because you use, I use a New King James. I use a John MacArthur New King James. And you don't use the King James only, and I'm not going to get into a big dispute here, folks, on translations, but there is an important point to be made, and that is this. I emailed her back, and I said, ma'am, she said to me that God gave us the inspired King James. And I emailed her back and I said, it's fine to use the King James. I used it for many years. I choose to use New King James now. I do believe there are a lot of horrible translations out there. We have to be very, very careful. But the Word of God is inspired. The original manuscripts, original text, Greek and Hebrew, Aramaic, are inspired. The translations are not inspired. In case in point, even the King James has some errors in it. And so I explained to her, look, what is the inspired Word of God is the original documents, the autographs, the original manuscripts, what do we call autographs. The translations are not inspired. And I said, if you really want to study the Bible carefully, even the King James, you have to go back to Greek and Hebrew in some cases to get a pure, accurate understanding, because it doesn't translate well in some places into our English language. But the Word of God is inspired, absolutely. not all, but the translations aren't inspired. Am I right or am I wrong, Dr. John?
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. The amazing thing about it is that even the King James translators, you can check this out easily, admitted that what they had translated was not inspired. In other words, we are adding something that even they would not have agreed with. So if any translation is inspired, you know what that involves, don't you? That involves a continual miracle. Because every time some scribe or scholar takes a hold of the Greek New Testament and mistranslates it here and there, what has happened? Is God going to supernaturally stop him from doing that? No. Miracles like that have ended. God is not doing that kind of thing anymore. And I say, Lord, help me to appreciate the fact that we do have a good translation to use. And I've been using sometimes New American Standard Bible or New King James, but there is nothing inspired except the original documents of the Bible. And I say, thank you, Lord, for helping me understand the importance of appreciating what you have done.
And you do at times need to go back to the Greek and Hebrew, even as we use a New King James or King James. We have to go back to the Greek and Hebrew sometimes to get a more accurate understanding of what the text is saying, because it doesn't translate well in our English language. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that, yes. And one of my former students, George Zeller, has done an enormously helpful job of showing us how we can be sure that we have a good translation and what the King James Version is and isn't. And anyone who would like to connect with him is simply georgezeller@juno.com. George Z-E-L-L-E-R, George Zeller at juno.com, and he might be able to help you.
Good, good. Thank you for that. All right, here's another question, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Let's see. Okay, I just listened to the podcast of you and Justin Peters. I have a few questions. Justin said, we don't have bodies in heaven until the second coming. In the Old Testament, didn't the rich man ask Abraham to let Lazarus dip his finger into some water and touch his tongue? I know at that time people who had died in faith of the coming Messiah went to Abraham's bosom, but to me that would indicate a body. Also in the New Testament, didn't the three disciples see Jesus and other three figures that were transfigured? They seem to have bodies too. I know most people who say they died and saw heaven are just out for profit and gain. I haven't read the book about the young boy who died and his father has been published. To me, Jesus would be more likely to use a child than Okay. So what are we to think about these people that say, we've done a whole program on these people who say they've gone to heaven and come back. We've done a whole show on that. But Justin Peters did make the comment they would not have their resurrected bodies yet. So what is your answer to that?
Well, you see, the Apostle Paul was very emphatic on the wanting to be resurrected, glorified physically. Now, it's not going to happen, of course, when we die. Our body is set aside temporarily in the grave, and we look forward to that day when that body will come forth from the grave, yes. Now, when we are to depart and be with Christ, to die is far better, says Paul. Yes, better than living with a sin nature today. But we will be simply resting in the presence of Jesus, waiting for the resurrection body. And we need to be very careful to understand what that really means. That means the ultimate hope is resurrection. If we have a temporary kind of a body to function in heaven, to do this or that, that is between the dead person and Jesus, who will take good care of us. Abraham's bosom is an example, the place of departed spirits, looking like, acting like he did have a body. But you see, it's impossible for us to even imagine Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, any of these Old Testament saints in the realm of Sheol, Hades, upper paradise, upper Sheol, as being totally disembodied. We can't even imagine that. So God himself comes across and says, I have a body now too, God the Father. In fact, I'm like a bird. I have wings. I have arms. I have a tongue. Well, no, he doesn't. These are what you call anthropomorphisms. In other words, for us to understand how a person can be a real person without a body at all is impossible. So God condescends down to our level of confusion and says, dear child, my hand is watching over you, you see.
Mm-hmm.
My ear hears you. Well, he doesn't have a hand or an ear in the Old Testament when he revealed himself to Israel. And therefore, we have to be very careful to take these anthropomorphisms and materialize them. Now, one thing's for sure, brother. When we die and go to be with Jesus, we're not going to say, oh, no, we thought this would be better. We will have exactly what we need, and that will be to honor him, to worship him, to praise him, and look forward to what? Are you ready for these things? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Number two, with the voice of the archangel. Number three, with the trump of God. Number four, now listen, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4. You see, what we're looking forward to is what? A resurrection body. We shall see, when we see him, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. Now, if that's happened now, there's nothing more to look forward to. It has not happened yet. And so Paul says, even we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we born-again Christians, groan within ourselves, waiting for what? Listen, the adoption, namely the redemption of the body. I'm not looking forward primarily to being dead. That's better than living with a sin nature. What I'm really looking forward to, said Paul, is to be resurrected with a body so I can really function as a king and a priest for Jesus in the millennial kingdom. And that is the distinction we need to make today. We don't want to just be disembodied. We want to be resurrected and glorified physically when Jesus comes.
Mm. Well, we got so many questions. We're not going to get through all of them today. I need to have you back on next week if you're available, Dr. Whitcomb, to finish, because I've got a total of about 16 questions, and we're just barely getting through them.
Right.
Can we reschedule and have you on next week again?
God willing. I look forward to that possibility.
All right, well, let's just keep going here. Let's open up our phone lines, though. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829, if you want to ask a question of Dr. Whitcomb. 1-800-347-9829. Again, 1-800-347-9829. And some of you I know don't like to call. The numbers show on any given radio program, very, very few percentage will actually call in. They don't want to do it. They're nervous or whatever. And that's one reason why we let you email your questions in advance. Also, some of them may require a little more research. So, again, feel free to email us your questions as well for next week. Don't email them to 1-800 number. Can't do that. Well, I guess you could texting, but email them to info@worldviewweekend.com. Okay, info@worldviewweekend.com. Number here though is 1-800-347-9829. We'll go to the phone lines here in just a minute. But Dr. Whitcomb, what about this one? After Jesus sends out the 70 and they successfully turn, Jesus talks about seeing Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Luke 9:18. Could you explain this passage? Was Satan in heaven at this time, or is this allegory?
All right. The correct reference is Luke 10:18.
Thank you.
When the 70 that he sent out in teams of two, 35 gospel or kingdom teams, they were amazed at how supernaturally God endorsed their ministry. And they just told about, you know, casting out demons and so forth, and that the demons are subject to them. And it was on that occasion that Jesus said something very, very fascinating, didn't he? He said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Okay? Now that's Luke 10:18. When was that? What happened? When? I believe at the beginning of the world, just after Adam and Eve were created, Satan fell and led hundreds of millions of other angels, which Jesus called demons, with him. That was the first fall of Satan. He suffered another tremendous loss. You remember the Genesis flood. According to 2 Peter and Jude, many of his demons are now permanently consigned to pits and chains of darkness until the judgment of the great day. He suffered a great loss at the flood, and demons today are terrified of Jesus because he's the one, of course, who brought the flood, just like he's the one who brought the curse in Genesis 3. And created the world in Genesis 1 and 2. Now, Jesus says that at his crucifixion on the cross, he said, now is the prince of the world cast out. Now that's, of course, John 12:31. Now you say, well, he's not cast out. He's still a roaring lion. Yes, but the point is he was judicially defeated finally, actually, historically, on the cross of Calvary. He was defeated, judged. But God has given him an extension program to accomplish certain things, like accusing the brethren, night and day, Revelation 12:10. That is still going on. Just like in Job 1, he accused Job. Zechariah 13, he accused those two men that God sent back to rebuild the temple, especially Joshua the high priest. That is going on today, and I say, thank you, Lord. Someday he'll be totally cast out of heaven. And I say, Lord, I can't wait. I can't wait.
We get back, we'll go to the phone line because they're lit up. Dr. John Whitcomb is my guest of WhitcombMinistries.org. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Are you concerned about the decline of the American dollar? Are you looking for a way to preserve your purchasing power? Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, your dollar today has the purchasing power of 4 cents. Your parents paid less for their first house than we do for an SUV today. That's what you call inflation. John Maynard Keynes, a Fabian socialist, said the most popular way to implement socialism will be through the inflation of the currency. By doing this, we can steal the majority of the people's wealth, and not one man in a million will know what we're doing. Well, that's exactly what they're doing, as they destroy the dollar. And as a result, gold and silver is going up. If you want to receive a free CD, a DVD, and 2 free reports on how to protect your assets with gold and silver, you can visit our website, worldviewtimes.com, and click on the banner for Swiss America, or you may call toll-free 1-877-864-1072. That's 1-877-864-1072. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're with us. Brandon House here, just getting my paper stapled. Our website, worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. You also find us on Facebook under Brandon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, House, H-O-W-S-E. Do us a favor, will you? Tell your friends about not only our website, but our Facebook page, will you? That Facebook page is a way to really make things go, as they say in the internet world, viral. And we post a lot of things up there every day, our daily news roundup, as well as our radio show each day. And, boy, we sure would appreciate it if you would help us be introduced to other biblically-minded Christians. That's what we're looking to do, is connect up with biblically-minded Christians, let them know about what we do here at Worldview Weekend, our radio program, our TV program, our columns, our conferences. So much of what we do is free. We just want to make them available of what we're doing. Programs like this with Dr. Whitcomb that we put up on our Facebook. So would you do us a favor? Would you introduce your friends on Facebook to our website and to our Facebook page? Again, our Facebook page, you can find it by going to Facebook.com and just typing in Brandon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, House, H-O-W-S-E. Click that you like it and send it out to your friends. Let them know this is a website that has a lot of great biblical worldview resources and programs like this. Our phone lines are lit up. Let's go to Bill in Oshkosh. Bill, you're on with Dr. John Whitcomb. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just heard a couple of comments. You know, I agree with what you say about IHOP. You know, some of the stuff they get into is unbelievable. But I'm also in shock to hear that you say that the Lord no longer does miracles. I'm 28 years old. I'm a minister. I have been ministering since I was 20 years old. But I guess, you know, I've seen miracles with my own eyes of God, you know, heal. And, you know, not to mention it's the greatest miracle of all is salvation in itself. But I have to completely disagree, you know, with what you say that God no longer does miracles.
Okay, let me address that, because I don't think that's really what we're saying. Is it, Dr. Whitcomb?
No, I apologize. I always have to qualify. He's not performing sign miracles today like Jesus did, walking on the water, raising the dead. That's not happening anymore. But miracles, yes, all the time. Conversions, sanctification, God's answers to prayer, blessings, these are all miraculous, but they're spiritual miracles that the unbeliever, now here's the point, an unbeliever can see those things that we claim are spiritual miracles and deny that they came from God. But when Jesus performed miracles, nobody could say they're fake. They're just sleight-of-hand tricks. They could say Satan did them or God did them, like Nicodemus agreed, but nobody could say they're just imaginary. The sign miracles of that kind, I've written a whole little book on that called Does God Want Christians to Perform Miracles, Sign Miracles Today? That is a very important distinction.
Okay, so let's get a distinction here between what you're... give me an example, if you would. Benny Hinn claiming he's going to heal somebody to get up out of their wheelchair and walk. That would be what you're talking about, that God does not give Benny Hinn that gift.
Are you talking to me or him?
No, we're going to let him answer. We'll let Bill go. Thanks for Bill. We're going to let him answer this because I think we got your question. I want to get into the meat of it. Go ahead and ask that, Dr. Witt. Answer that. Is that what you mean? Like people like Dr. Benny Hinn?
Yes.
God's not giving people gifts like that any longer.
That's correct. Nobody. In fact, if you look carefully, you can see something's being set up for you on a TV screen, on a lighted stage or something. And I would say to a person like this, if you can really do that, sir, if you're honest to God that you have that power, why don't you go to a hospital and go up and down the beds and say, stand up, you're well, get ready. And you know what he'll say? He'd say, these people will not get well when I say they should because they don't have enough faith. That's a complete cop-out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the miracles that, like, Benny Hinn and those things, we've done whole programs out with Justin Peters. But what you're talking about, the miracle, as Bill was saying, the miracle of salvation, the miracle of God answering our prayers, these are miracles we see in the spiritual realm. What you're saying is people don't have the gifts of signs and wonders today, is what you're saying.
Right. That's exactly right. That's a huge difference. Signs and wonders were exclusively for the inauguration of the church in the book of Acts to confirm the divine identity of Christians, for Jews to see that. Today, that is over with because we have the complete Bible now. We don't need any more sign miracles in the superstructure of the church, only in the foundation period, that first generation of that church. Today, it is not happening. We don't need them. We have God's written word, the Bible.
But we're not saying that someone can't pray, that someone is healed of their cancer, and the church is praying, and the elders have prayed, and God chooses to answer that prayer, and they go back to the doctor, and their x-ray is clear, and their cancer is gone. God could choose to do that, but that's not someone like Benny Hinn touching them and healing them. That was by prayer, the prayers of righteous men avail much. That's why people praying, God chose to do that. That kind of miracle can happen today. Agree or disagree?
Absolutely. And God does it all the time. In fact, I'm almost coming to the point of saying anyone who is healed in a hospital at home, it's God's mercy that does it. We say God did this. It didn't happen by chance. Nothing that happens to me happens by chance.
Amen.
But I say God is involved. God's in charge. God is merciful. And God's providence, watch that word, God's providence, provides marvelous things that someday in heaven he'll show us, about.
Let's go to Dan in Michigan. Dan, go right ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Two-part statements. Number one, I experienced what you talked about earlier in Iraq while conducting operations all over the place with two interpreters, both of whom were killed later on in combat, that claim to have had dreams and been conversions to Christians. The interesting part about it was when you talked to them about their theology or doctrine, it was contrary to what we know as doctrine that is profitable.
Wow.
That they contradicted scriptures. Also, I found other individuals throughout the country when I was conducting operations who experienced the same thing with others who claimed the same events. And I don't know what became of them, but it's interesting to me. Number two, every house that we build must be built on a solid foundation. I'd have to part ways with Dr. Wickman here on the absolute authority of God's word. We have to have some sort of certainty. Otherwise, I would use the Church Universalist Bible or the Catholic Bible. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He was on the road, and he had before him the scriptures. And you quoted it earlier from 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration, that's all. And what was all scripture given by inspiration? If you're suggesting that today's scripture that is written in the King James Bible is not inspired, then you are in error.
Okay, let me clarify. Dr. Wickham, what we're saying is the translators who are translating and gave you the New King James or Dr. Lutzer or Dr. Piper that were involved in giving us the English Standard Version, those translations aren't inspired. The Word of God is inspired, but the translations, those guys writing on those pieces of paper or typing, that's not inspired. The Word of God's inspired. What they're doing can have errors, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. That's a big, huge difference. We've got to be very careful to make a distinction between what we're doing today, the Word of God, and what the Holy Spirit did to the chosen apostles and the prophets in the New Testament.
All right, drwickham.org. Thanks for listening.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of WorldviewWeekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.